Well, good morning, everybody. Put my eyes on here where I can see what I'm speaking about today. What Mr. Wendt said about our yard sale tomorrow and the setup tonight, praying that it only takes a couple hours for setup. There is a lot of stuff, so we're very happy for the turnout of the stuff to sell. Before the sermon this morning, the title of my sermon is called Life's Journey. Life's Journey. Because we're all on a journey. Whether you know it or not, you're on a journey every day of your life. And thank you to Mr. Bell for his sermonette, because I feel that it just really will really combine with what I'm speaking on this morning. I mean, as we go through God's Word, even at the very beginning, we see and we're shown individuals and part of their life journey. Such people as Noah. Abraham, and Abraham's son, Isaac, Isaac's son, Jacob. And as you read about their, and it's not about each and every day of their life, but it's about their life. And we can see that God was part of their daily life, just as God should be a part of our daily life. Yes, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have smartphones, they didn't have that while they're speaking. Unless it was God speaking to them, but I think it was more clear when God was speaking to them. But we see that our life is a journey. Moses, Ruth, Esther, you pick a person that you're familiar with when you're reading Scripture, and that you like to read about. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Jesus Christ himself. All of these individuals had a life's journey. When Christ came down and was God in the flesh, he had that journey as a man. And throughout our life, you know, we personally have probably experienced, I know I have, events that have either frightened us or caused fear in us. Well, we can relate to these individuals in the Bible, Old or New Testament. I'm sure during their life's journey, they had events of that nature. And there are those events in our life that have given us great joy. The date or the day of our baptism, the day of our marriage, the day of our children being born, or our grandchildren being born. Things that you can relate to that gave us great joy and continue to give us joy. And there are times where there's been sadness as well. The loss of a parent, loss of a child or a mate. But also when you look at that, it's also a time of great joy as well, because we know based on God's truth, the hope of the resurrection, that their time is now in the next instant of that resurrection, no longer suffering, no longer experiencing pain or whatever it may have been. But how often in our life have we or do we now exhibit or we experience these type of symptoms? Joy, sadness, pain, fear, anxiety. Basically what you would call ups in your life or downs in your life. Let me ask you a question. What is your greatest fear or worry in life? There are many things in this world going on right now. Is any of this hitting closer to home than it would for others? Is there a fear? Webster's Dictionary definition of fear is to be afraid, or apprehensive. It's an unpleasant, often strong emotion, because God created in us emotions that causes which causes by our anticipation or awareness of any danger that may be around us. If you would, turn to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, starting in verse 15. We read, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has to us," because God does love us. God is love. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment." Well, are we there yet? Do we have that perfect love in our life that God wants us to have? Well, if we do, God's word says there's no fear in love. And it's something that we have to continue working on. In God's written word in the Old Testament, we have examples such as Israel, ancient Israel, dealt with these feelings when they saw Pharaoh and his army approaching them at the Red Sea. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and verse 30. Exodus 12, verse 30. "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." Now, when you think about that, it doesn't say the number of houses. It just says there was not a house, which means all houses. There was someone dead. It wasn't just the dead of the firstborn, but it was there was death of the beast as well, the firstborn of the beast. But here, they saw that they had their firstborn die. This was after dealing with the plagues that God had brought on them before that, and this was being the tenth plague, the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Now, if you would go to Exodus chapter 14. With Pharaoh and his army approaching Israel, they were out for blood. They were mad, to say the least. A lot madder than misplacing your keys, as was brought up during the sermon, I can guarantee you. Exodus 14, starting in verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness." It's more of a question they were saying. "Wherefore, as you have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" Well, even after witnessing the plagues that God brought on the Egyptians, and it states in Exodus 8, verses 22 through 23, I won't turn there, I'll just make reference to it. It was stated after the third plague that God was going to separate Israel from the remaining plagues. But they witnessed the plagues that were going on, even after all of that, seeing the strength and might of God. Israel continued to complain. Apply that in our lives today. God has called us to his great and wonderful truth. in our life's journey each day. Even if you want to look back to the year that you were baptized in, to today, how well have we done as we've been marching along in our journey in life? Have we found ourselves complaining continually, or at times? I know I have. Far from perfect. Christ hasn't returned yet, so we're going to continue struggling. But God says, come to Him to repent, you know, to be forgiven our sins, so that we can continue moving forward that He wants us to do. So we should always examine ourselves, even while we're studying God's Word, whether it's Old or New Testament. How do we match up to what has been recorded? Because our life is a recording of our history. Because you see, what we've experienced, even as of today, is nothing compared to what we know is still coming, that God has told us is ahead of us. But we can't wait. We can't wait until then to really change. Our time is now. Our time is each day of our life to be prepared, because we don't know when our life is going to end. So we have to be ready. We have to stay prepared. We have to focus. We have to be consistent each and every day. Because I have found myself asking this question quite a few times. What is it really going to take? I mean, really going to take for us to finally realize and to get our act together? It's our choice. It's up to us. I mean, others can see it. Others can, you know, explain things to you and point things out. But when it really gets down to it, to hitting the nail on the head, that is up to us to really bear down and to do what God wants us to. If you would, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Because our adversary, he would love to see us fail. But we were not called to fail. We were called to succeed in life. Revelations 12, starting in verse 15. Speaking of things that are still ahead. Here we read, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." The woman here meaning the church. "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." That's still to happen. That's still in the future. We really don't want a part of that. We really don't. But we know it's coming. It's here in God's Word. It's recorded. And the other signs that we were given and written from God for us in the Bible, when the disciples asked Christ about the sign of His coming in Matthew 24, I won't turn there, I'm just referencing it. And if we're studying and staying close to God's Word, we know, because God's very clear, we know what's ahead. That's why we should stay close to God. And we need to be preparing our hearts now, daily. And we need to be building that faith. Because on this journey, one thing, and I'll be referencing something in a little while, deals with faith. A lot of these people that we talked about in their life's journey, the examples, a lot of that was by faith, or through faith, by faith in God. And to be consistent each day, putting God first, first and foremost in our life, always believing that God will do what He says if we ask Him. And we must understand what fear is, if there is fear in our life, or has been, or may be in the future. Fear is a weakness that Satan will try to manipulate. He won't even try. He will manipulate it and use it against us, because he wants to see us fail. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 28. We see Christ speaking here. And fear not them which kill the body. Because really, if they kill the body, what else is there for them to do? You're dead. Okay. Don't fear them. If it happens, your next moment's the resurrection. Don't worry about it. Really. So don't fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Okay, because they can only kill this physical body of mankind. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And here we're speaking of God, who is able to destroy both soul and body. But we are to show that reverence to our Father, the reverence to God. And again, we need to come to that point in our life where we are so close to God. And that's what we really need to be striving for, to be so close to God through our prayers and our study, our meditating, our fasting, building our faith, and spiritually preparing our heart and mind. So building our faith in these examples, if you would, turn to Hebrews 11. I mean, there are times you read God's Word, but there are times it just seems like you just read over words that God is really pointing out to you. So building our faith. Have you noticed how many times in Hebrews 11 it says by faith, or through faith? Quite a few. You know, I actually finally it just got to me, so I had to highlight them. You know, I really did, because it was just, I gotten away from highlighting in my Bible, but sometimes you just have to do what you got to do. It just jumps out at you. But here we see, and I, you know, just jumping around, I didn't really count them, but where it talks about by faith Abel, or by faith Enoch, or by faith Noah, or by faith Abraham. You know the stories, so you see this, but you know their life's journey of what they dealt with. It wasn't in a vacuum. What they dealt with was just as we deal with today around us. There are people around us. There are things happening around us. Some good, some bad. It's part of life. You work, you play, you eat, you sleep, whatever you may do in your life. If you're retired, you just have a great time. Or at least I do. So, recommended. But all these through faith, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses. How do you apply that in your life? By faith Randy, by faith whoever it may be. Put your name there, by faith or through faith. What in your life, what in your life's journey, you can say, I can prove that God has been with me. I can prove and show and give you examples of what God has done for me or us as a church family. Because you always ask yourself, how often during the day do you find yourself seeking contact with the Father and Jesus Christ? Especially when texts come across about prayer requests. It's like instant contact. That's needed right then and there. Prayer to God. Intercessory prayer. So we're to be casting out fear and filling that void with the love of God. The love of each and every one of you, praying for you at all times. Preparing our heart, building that serving attitude. You know, Christ gave us a great example when he washed the disciples' feet during the Passover service. He set a great example for us to follow, to be humble in serving others. But there are other ways of being humble in serving others. As I just mentioned, our prayers. What a greater way, what is there a greater way than serving and being humble to others is praying for them. Because we know that fear is something that is inward looking. It's inward. And we need to be expressing outward. It's not projecting outward. Fear should have no lasting place in our life. And it's something we need to work on daily. Because we should be showing that outgoing concern and love toward others. Because that is outward expression to others. And maintaining that big picture. Because we know the end of the story. When God wins, we win. Because God wants us to be there with him. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, starting in verse 31. 32. Again, Christ is speaking here. He says, but rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because if you look at it, in life's journey, just remember, a successful journey leads to the kingdom of God. So that's the journey we're on. We are being led by God to his kingdom. So we want to be a success at that. Again, Satan, he would like to just snap us, break us, if he could. He wants to destroy it all. But we need to be focused and stay focused on the big picture of God's great plan of salvation and what that means. Again, read about those that came before us. They may have had fear, but from a lot of their actions and their life and what's being recorded, I really can't see it. If it was there, it wasn't noticeable in the words that are written here. They relied on God for their deliverance. And that's the same God that we rely on today. God never changes. Who protected them back there is protecting us today. I mean, such people as David. Again, in David's life story and life's journey, we see bits and pieces that are given to us, such as this story of shepherding, where he killed a lion and bear, protecting his flock. We know where David conquered Goliath through God, and knowing that God was going to protect him, he conquered Goliath. Daniel and all that he went through, it's not just the lion's den that he survived, but he dealt with these people, such as the king of Babylon, whose attitude, I would say, wasn't the greatest. You would not want a boss like that where snap of a finger, you're done for. And no thank you. So he had to deal with that and the atmosphere around him of people that wanted him dead, who were jealous, or just personally didn't like him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, there are three individuals there not bowing down to the golden idol. You know, we really didn't see the fear mentioned in the story. They already knew that they were not going to disobey God. And they were not going to bow down to the idol Nebuchadnezzar. Again, in Hebrews 11, if you would turn back to Hebrews 11, all these individuals and all of us in our life's journey, we can look at it as they looked at it in verse 13 of Hebrews 11. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded or convinced of them, and they embraced it." They embraced what God was directing them to. "And they confessed or admitted that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Just as we today, we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. It's temporary. This life is temporary, but what is ahead of us is eternal. And that's what God wants to give us, the gift that he wants to give us. And that's where we would consider that an up, most definitely an up in our life, to what God wants to do for us. And that should be driven by our friendship and loving attitude with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. The loving family, the loving friends, and others. Again, that outgoing love and concern that God wants us to express and live. Because friendship is a part of God's way of life. God designed us to need each other, to form, to maintain, and to enjoy good relationships with others. You know, one example, you know, we mentioned Moses earlier, by faith Moses. Well, in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, again, looking at God's word, proving it in God's word, not just taking it for granted. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. It says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend." Just as we, when we go to God on our knees, we go to God in prayer, we're going, by the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, we have been given that opportunity to approach God on his throne. not via text or smartphone, email. No, this is direct access, instant. Any moment of the day, no call waiting. I recently had a Wi-Fi router go out. I was thinking the world ended, you know. What am I going to do? So you go buy a new one, and it won't work. Well, it was only because the password I was told to put in was all lowercase. Well, guess what? The first letter was supposed to be capitalized. Amazing, you know, technology. Just one little thing. But as Randy Bell was talking about, mad? Disappointed. Yeah, mad. Yeah, because I'd ordered another unit, but by the time it was shipped, I already had the other one working. So, hey, let's just call it a backup for future use. So, but the friendship that we have with others, and especially to our Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, it is so paramount. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 24, Proverbs 18, verse 24. We read, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Well, apply that to us. Do we? Do we have friends? Do we show ourselves friendly? And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How many can relate to that statement right there? There is a friend that is closer than a brother. Or even say a sister. Yeah, I can agree with that. There are some people that are really closer than family, as a brother and sister. God knows what He's talking about. I mean, it's there. We can relate to it. The Father and Jesus Christ have a very close relationship. And that's the type that we should have, because they are one in mind and spirit. And that's what we should be seeking and developing, is the mind of God. In the book of John, chapter 15, starting in verse 12, again, we see Christ speaking. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. So we should consider ourselves a friend of Christ. If we are doing what He has commanded. And that's why we need to stay on top of His Word and study, looking into these areas, possibly areas of our life that we're falling short in. Because Jesus did lay down His life for us, and He fulfilled that. So it's now time for us to do as commanded. Love one another. And again, if we're doing this daily, we're practicing this, then we should be experiencing a greater number of joy, enjoyment in our life, our daily life's journey. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I mean, it's so amazing as you read God's Word, how you apply it to your own life. Not just current, But you can look back over your life to see some of the similar examples. First Chronicles chapter 29, starting in verse 14. Sort of cutting into David's prayer here. It says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of your own have we given you." And we know everything belongs to God. All of our blessings that he has blessed us with, all of our belongings, all things belong to God. "For we are strangers before you and sojourners," again, pilgrims on this earth, "as were all of our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow." The older we get, sort of relate to that as well, right? Where did the time go? It's just fleeting by. Just like a shadow, just a cloud crossing between us and the sun, that shadow just fleets by. Again, that's all part of our life's journey. We must learn to balance our life. We must learn to be wise in developing and maintaining our healthy friendships. We don't want to be alone. Yes, we can be with God in his word, in his study, and his praying to him. But part of our health and being healthy is to have friends, to have family, to have that love. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, we'll see here where it talks about friends. Proverbs 17:17, we read, "A friend loves at all times." I'll just read the first part there. "A friend loves at all times." So we being as a friend to others, we should be loving at all times. Because really, when you break it down, what type of qualities do you look for in a friend? But we need to understand those same type of qualities are what we should be expressing back to others. Say honesty. Do you look for honesty in a friend? If so, are we honest with each other? Do we look for a non-judgmental friend? Do you look for a dependable friend? Someone that would be there when needed? If so, are we dependable to others? Do you want a friend that's supportive? One that will listen to you, what you have to say? Again, are we supportive in the same way? You would want to see a friend that's very caring and showing a caring attitude. Again, the many examples of Jesus Christ, our elder brother, when he was moved to compassion in response to the deep needs of others that he saw. He didn't ask them to make an appointment. He was there for them, healing the blind so they could see, healing the deaf so they could hear, healing the dumb so they could speak, for the lame that they could walk, bringing back those that were dead back to life. That compassion that Christ had. Again, he is our example. So on our life's journey, we are instructed to follow what God says. There was a recent memo that was sent out from Don Ward that I wanted to just sort of quote a few sentences from to interject some points here during my sermon. This was dated December 3rd, 2019. I'm sure everybody got a copy of that, hopefully, from Don Ward. But it says in the second paragraph, and I'm quoting from Don Ward's memo, "Perhaps our greatest spiritual blessing is our calling." Again, God has called us to succeed in life, to be a very part of his family. That is part of our life's journey. In order to enter into the covenant of sacrifice with God in Christ, we must hear the word and respond to it. We must repent, exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ, be baptized, and receive the laying on of hands. And Mr. Ward goes on talking about, do we really grasp what God is telling us by these words throughout this whole memo? In the fourth paragraph, I quote, first sentence, "It is because of God's love and grace that he has called us." God does the calling. We cannot do anything on our own. God is the one who calls us. And why does he call us? Because he loves us. He has called us into the work of God and the body of Christ. And that is part of our journey. That is the main focus of our journey in life. We have been called by God. Quoting again from his memo, "And God has called us to bear fruit." God has not called you to just sit on the sidelines and watch the world go by. That's not for our journey. We are not to be idle, just sitting and watching the world go by. He expects us to be in the arena, fighting the good fight of faith with all of your might. He expects us to use whatever he has given us to edify, to exhort and comfort others. In fact, the purpose of spiritual gifts, which come from God, is to edify, comfort, and exhort the body of Christ. And we should never discount just our presence at Sabbath services. Never look at that as just a weekly routine, because it's not. We are commanded to be here. And it's through our fellowship that we draw strength and encouragement from each other. I mean, there are some individuals that are here today that I haven't seen in a long time. And that sentence there, the strength and encouragement from each other, has shown encouragement to me, you know, of seeing these individuals here today. Don Ward's also quoting, "A touch, a pat on the back, a good word, and a smile may make all the difference in a person's life. Remember, God has called us to bear much fruit." So think to yourselves, mull over that. How do you bear fruit? How can I bear fruit? Mr. Ward says, "You must never draw back, because our journey is forward. It's never looking back. turning and going backwards. It's forward moving. You must never draw back. To do so is to begin to deny the one who redeemed you and blessed you with spiritual gifts. We never want that to happen, to deny that great calling. So you could bear much fruit by our calling, that spiritual gift, and fulfill your God-ordained calling. Because again, that is a gift from God. So let's just do a brief recap here, some of the information we've covered today. We need to know what fear is and how to overcome it, because again, it is a tool that Satan will use. Satan will manipulate that to disrupt our life if we allow it. We need to prepare our hearts and minds now. Just as we read in Hebrews 11, we need to build that faith, and we need to believe, because by doing that, we're combating any frightened feelings that we may be experiencing. You know, again, there's a lot of anxiety in this world, a lot of trouble, a lot of sickness going around, which does in itself cause problems. We need to look at God and His plan, to always look to God and maintain God's big picture, that being the kingdom of God. And by this, it should fill us with great joy. Again, we've been called to a work, and that work is for us to develop within ourselves and hopefully others by our example, to nurture and to maintain and to grow our friendships with God, Jesus Christ, our spiritual family, just need to raise my hand a little higher when I do that, as well as our physical family and others that we come in contact with, because this is it adds a soothing ointment to see us through any sadness in our life, by having friends and family that are caring and wanting to share and to help carry that load, and also to magnify the joy in our life, knowing that we were born, God created us, God knows who we are, what we're doing, at all times, God knows everything. And we, like God, we should know that by enduring to the end, we will receive God's promised gift of eternal life. It's just waiting there for us. But we have to be there to receive it. We have to endure to the end. So we need to negotiate through life's journey all the bumps, the curves that are thrown at us. Each day, we need to be watchful. We need to watch our steps in life and walk with purpose that God has given us, because, again, all things are given to us by and through God. We need to avoid, and by being observant, we will. We need to avoid dangerous spiritual pitfalls and those physical ones as well, and allow God's Spirit to guide us, because God leads us on our journey down the right path, because He's told us through the instructions, here's your path I want you to walk on. Follow me. I'll lead you down the right path. Don't stray from that path. And if we do this, if we stay on the right path, we will find our destination that's waiting for us, that gift from God. and we'll live out God's purpose for our life. But again, we must not wait to start. We can't procrastinate. We can't just sit by, as it was said, and just watch the world go by. Because you think it's going to get any better? I don't think so. I really don't. It's not going to get any easier. But if you wait, it's really not going to get any easier, because you're just not going to have that energy that's built for that reserve. And we can't be stopping and starting. We've got to be consistent. We have to be consistent daily. We must be vigilant to be on that right path now. Because we all know our time is now. Our time is now. And continue to make God our highest priority daily and to follow His way. God is calling us to understand His will and to recognize that His ultimate purpose is for us and all humanity to be His divine children in that family for all eternity. We are being called out of darkness of this world to journey, to walk with purpose toward that goal. Again, a journey is going forward. Hope and expectations. So let's keep moving forward and growing as God has instructed us. Because as I said before, a successful journey leads to the kingdom of God. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.